We're learning a Hasidic discourse by the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Rebbe of Chabad, Rabbeinu Shmuel. We're basically at the end of the discourse. The subject of the discourse is to understand that there's nothing else, even though it sounds strange, but the truth is there's nothing else but God. He's the only true existence. The beginning of the discourse started with the idea of Shituf. Shituf means society, that God as quote-unquote partners and so on, and we discussed whether this is allowed for Jews and this is allowed for non-Jews and so on. The Rebbe didn't go into the deepness of the discussion, but basically, halachically speaking, like if I had to say law, I would say it's forbidden for everybody. The Rebbe brings this idea clearly, I would say it's forbidden for everybody. But whatever, in any case, there are opinions that allow it, whatever. So now the Rebbe is going back, after quite a long discussion, to explain why do we say that God is one instead of saying that God is unique. We should say, in Parshas Vayeshanan, we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Here, Israel, God, our Lord, God is one. We should say, instead of one, unique. Because unique represents like a more special and elevated thing than one. One, you could say, okay, it's only one, but could be two, three, four, etc. Unique means there couldn't be two, three, four. So why do we say one? What's the main idea behind the whole discussion that we're not going back through the whole discussion again, but what's the main idea? The main idea is that every single thing that we see down here depends, is not independent, depends on the godly energy being drawn down, whatever, being thrown into the creature in order to be. In other words, God creates everything. He is the source of life. He is the source of everything. And he gives life to every single creature. He is the only one independent. And every other creature, he's not a creature, whatever, every creature in the world depends on him to exist. That's why we say he's the only existence. He's the only true existence. Okay, so we're by the end of the discourse. Let's go. Al pi kol hanal yuvan. Inyan mitzvah z'yachdoi. Shemeru mazbetevas echot. According to all the things that we learned before, so all the classes that we learned before, we're going to understand the mitzvah, the commandment of unifying God. That's saying that he is one, that is alluded to in the word one, echot. Hainu, that means, shehagam shenivru shiva rekim ba'aretz v'dalet ruchis ha'olam, even though they were created seven heavens and the earth and four directions in the world, so you open your eyes and we see all kinds of things. Mikol makom, however, me'achar shem betelim legamrei v'kanal, since they are completely nullified. And as we explained before, like in the previous classes, nimtza comes out, she'ein shum metzius uzas izbarach, there's no other existence except for God. He's the only true existence, in the words of the Rambam, Maimonides. Vezeu merumas v'tevas echot davka. This idea that God is the only true existence, this is alluded to in the word one. Specifically the word one and not unique. Why? She'im haya ne'emar yochid, haya nishma she'elokus hu yochid u'meyuchad. If the Torah would have said that God is unique, we would have understood that godliness, it's a unique thing, and it's, meyuchad means like separated. It's his one in his world, so to speak. He's alone in his world, in his mind, in his whatever. However, part of what we would have understood is that the rest of the creation, created in the 6 days of creation, are actually a metzius, an existence. They do exist. So God is one, and existence is the world is an existence. It's something independent, so to speak, of God. Because God created it, and it's just in the heavens, whatever. Over there in the universe, the earth is somewhere in the universe and it exists. No. That's the meaning of Yochid. God is unique. He is unique in his existence, and the rest of the world is unique in his existence, in its existence. Aval keshenemar echod. However, when you say the word one instead of unique,
Me rrumat që ja kam që një bra hojnë me shqipra kim vë alit, se betalit rruhës oj, betalit rruhës, hem betelin betakli, zërkhin e tha ale, falu për shëllojnë, a me kaj me habe a kërkullë, it's a long phrase. Now that the Torah says that God is one, it alludes to the fact that even though the world created the world and the seven heavens and the earth and the four directions of the world, everything is completely nullified to the Aleph, to the first letter of this word, one, Echot, which means Aluf Shalom, the master of the world, that gives life and creates everything. So again, if you say Yochid, what you're saying is God is in his, so to speak, world, and the rest of the creation is its own thing, existence by itself. Okay, and God sometimes comes and says, no, I don't like this, and he changes something, miracles, very nice.
But now that you say one, what you're saying is that Echot, like the Aleph, he has three letters. The Aleph means Alufo Sheloilam, the master of the world. The Ches means Shiva Rekim Va'aretz. The letter Ches represents seven heavens and the earth. And the Dalet, the four directions of the world. Everything is one with Aleph, with Alufo Sheloilam, with the master of the world. V'al Echot ze ne'emar yesh Echot ve'en Sheini. On this particular understanding of the word Echot, one, is that we say, according to some liturgies of the Siddur, of the prayer book, etc., it says, Yesh Echot ve'en Sheini. There's one, but there's no two. Even though the regular understanding of one means there could be two, there could be three. No. In this case, one means there's one and there's no two. Pirush, that means the following. Agam ki echad yesh gam echad amonui, even though that what you say echad, one, means the idea, could mean the idea of echad amonui, one that is accountable, one, two, three, four, five. Okay, you said one, but it could be three, four, five, etc. Aval elokus o echad ven shein lo sheini. However, godliness is a one of a type that does no two. There's no second to that. Being so, pirush echot ze ukemo yochid. In this particular place, when the Torah says echot, one, it actually means unique. It means yochid. But, it says echot, it says one. Rak nemar echot bekedei sheyuvan veirumas veateiva sheagam shenivru shiva rakim ve'arz v'aruchus mikol makem em betelim betachlis. However, the Torah chose to write one and not unique, in order to understand, to explain and understand, and allude to the fact that even though there's a creation of the seven heavens and the earth and the four directions of the world, however, they are completely nullified to the Aleph, to the One, which is Aluf Sheloilam, the master of the world, HaMechayu Mehave Kol HaNivraim, that gives life and creates every single creature. Benim Salefize, according to this, Lo Yishayachin Yenashituf Klal. According to this, it's impossible to think of a society, so to speak, shituf, of God with something else. What do you mean, something else? There's nothing else. It's just God. Because there's no other existence except for God. So what are you going to associate God with? There's nothing else. Not even angels, nothing. Forget it, doesn't make any sense. Shituf doesn't make sense. So beyond, this is not reading in the discourse, but it's obvious, like beyond the halachic discussion, whether a non-Jew can actually believe in Shituf and so on, beyond that discussion, it doesn't make sense. That's what the Rebbe is saying. Doesn't make any sense. He's the only true creation, only true existence. Nothing else. The rest are creations. It doesn't make sense to believe in Shituf, even if it's allowed, doesn't make sense. And this actually supports even more the idea of the Rebbe, that the Rebbe brings the idea in a letter that even if Shituf, association of God with something else, it is allowed for non-Jews, even if we're going to say that, God is going to punish non-Jews for believing in Shituf. It's like he allows you to do something, but he doesn't want you to do it. is not expecting you to do it. And if you do it, I'm going to punish you. But you allowed it to me. Yeah, you know what? Certain things I don't like. Even if they're allowed. I just don't like it. וזהו שתהיה מון קלוס. This is what... Last two paragraphs. This is what Onkelus, who was a convert in the times of the Romans and so on, he translated, going back to the beginning of the discourse, Micha Moicha, who is like you, and so on, he translated, Leis bar minach, there's nothing except for you. That's what he translated. Shakavana leoitzi inyan ashituf. The idea of Onkelus was precisely to negate the idea of society, that God is associated with something else, with some other creature. Yeah, you know, that means Shagam, Shamalachim, and Nivraim Gdoilim, even though the angels are really great creatures, big and important and so on, Mikol Makem, Gamhem, Einam Metzius Klal, however, even they, they're no existence. They don't exist. Forget it. כי ברצוי סבוי לסגל לי עליהם יצר מחוק הקוצב להם ויזבט לו לגמרי. Because if God wants, gets revealed upon them, the angels, more than the rule that they're allowed to, or they're actually able to understand and support and so on, and they completely lose themselves. They completely get an existence. וכמו שהיה, as it was already, this is a midrash that he is quoting, the Rebbe is quoting, when God showed them, whatever this means, their small finger, and they got burned. Like the angels received a little bit more of revelation of godliness than they were used to, and they burned. That's it. They lost themselves. Pirush, shenizbat legamre. What does that mean that they burned? They got burned. That they were completely nullified. כמוכן ברצס הבוירי יוחל לגלויס, גם על שיער המלוכים, ויזבט לו ממציוסם. The same thing happens. If God wants, he could reveal upon the other angels, other types of angels, the Rambam himself brings 10 types of angels and so on, doesn't really matter what they are, but the point is, in any kind of angel, if God reveals more than what they are used to, they completely lose themselves. They get lost. They completely lose their existence. ולכן גם בעיס אשר אינו מסגלי עליהם יסם מגבי חוק הקוצוף. This is a very simple but powerful thought that comes out from what the Rebbe just said. Therefore, even in the moment that God does not reveal upon the angels more than what they are used to, מכל מקום אינו מציוס אמיתיס. However, they're not a real existence. The Rebbe is saying something very powerful. What's an existence? An existence is something that doesn't depend on anything else to exist, like a true existence, something that doesn't depend on anything else to exist, and there's no way of nullifying it. That's an existence. If you find some kind of way to nullify something, to say this doesn't exist anymore, even in the moment that it exists, it doesn't really exist. Because there's a possibility that it doesn't exist. God is the only, quote-unquote, thing, whatever, to call it somehow, that there's nothing you could do to nullify its existence. So he's a true existence. Angels, even when they exist, because they could be nullified, that means that they don't exist. Even at the moment that they do exist. Rak, hem shluchim. The angels are just emissaries. Shal yadam nimshach hashpa'ah, that through them comes down the flux, the flow of energy, whatever. V'em kegarzen b'yad ha'chotzer boy, bilti shum bechira klal, and they are just like the axe in the hands of the wood chopper. They have no free will at all, says the Rebbe. V'lochen, therefore, ein hashach likrisim b'shem shutav klal. Therefore, it doesn't make any sense to call the angels shutafim. They are like partners to God. Doesn't make any sense. What do you mean partners? Como le'avoem, and it's different, says the Rebbe, than the father and the mother. It's a different thing. That, of course, the father and the mother are together, etc., etc., and there's a son, a daughter, whatever. So they are the Gemara itself, the Talmud itself calls them partners with God. Wait a second. You tell me that the angels are not partners and father and mother are partners? Why? What's the difference? They're nothing, just like the angels. So the Rebbe is explaining a very interesting difference that actually this is not a Hasidic thing. The Ramban, Nachmanides, brings this idea. Shechilek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kovod, God gave them honor to father and mother, as it's written, Kaved es avicha v'simecha. One of the Ten Commandments is that you have to respect your father and your mother. Kaved, honor your father and your mother. Why? Because, as the Talmud says, there are three partners in the creation of a life. Nikru shutafim, and we see clearly, the Talmud says that father and mother are called partners to God. Why? Even though the portion that the father and mother bring, so to speak, give for the creation of a life, it's completely non-existent when compared to the part that God gives. Father and mother give the body, and God gives the soul. A body without a soul is nothing. A soul without a body, it's a soul, and it exists. But the body without the soul is nothing. Mikol makom, nikru shutafim. However, father and mother are still called partners. Why? Liyoisam balei bechira al kol panim. Because they do have free will. They do have free will. Whether to be, we're not talking about exceptional cases of violations, chas v'shalom, God forbid, etc. A regular case, he loves her, she loves him, everything is fine. And they could choose not to create a life. Yes, they could choose. But they chose to actually do whatever they had to do to create a life. They chose. And God said, I'm going to involve myself over here and I'm going to make a life. Because sometimes it doesn't bring out a life. Okay, we know that. But at some point, they chose. They could have not, but they chose. So they have some kind of free will over here. That's why the Torah calls them partners. God calls them partners. Aval ha-malochim, but the angels, forget it. Einam ba'alei bechira klal. They have no free will at all. Rak egarzim b'yad ha-chotzei boy, they're just like an axe. The Rebbe repeats this idea because it comes from a verse. They're just like the axe in the hands of the wood chopper. Now the Rebbe brings between parentheses. Umashi amru razal, he has a question. Our sages do say, afkule metatron, וכן אמרו רזל בבא המציא, דף פי ה', על אליהו ומחיו שיס אימפולס אין דנורה. The Talmud brings that there are certain angels that they suffered, so to speak, some kind of punishments because they did things that God was not expecting or whatever the case. So over here, Metatron is one of the angels. They brought it out, brought him out. They kicked him out, whatever. And then it says in a different place in the Talmud, about Eliyahu, that he was punished with 60 rays of fire, whatever. So we do see that certain activities are actually punished. So why should you punish a creature if you don't give it free will? If you force a creature to do something and the creature does that, you can't punish it. You forced it. Only makes sense to punish if you give free will. And then the creature chooses wrong, like doing evil. Okay, I'm going to punish you. So we do see that they do have some kind of free will. Behainu, that means like following. Mipnei kishinna v'gila b'olam hazeh me'arazin iloim. This happened. One more step to the question. I'm sorry, before the answer. Because they revealed in this world from the secrets of above. And they got punished. So why? Now comes the answer. Yishloimar. We could answer. Shamalachim eilu ayut chila neshamois. Wow, this is very powerful. Those angels, the truth is, at some point in creation, they were souls, neshamois. They were not created as angels. They were actually souls. They had free will, and then they become angels. Became angels for whatever reason. So they do keep, so to speak, some of the qualities of a soul, and the soul has free will, and that's why God punished those particular angels. How do you know this idea that these angels were at some point souls? So the Rebbe explains, Metatron uHanoch, this angel, whatever, in the world of Yetzirah, doesn't really matter who he is, but the point is, this guy, Metatron, was actually Hanoch. He's mentioned, this was a grandson of Adam HaRishon, the first man. So it was a soul. It had some kind of free will. And then he became an angel, for whatever reason. Vimken, being so, Yeshleima Shigam Ata Hem Bale Bechira. Then you can say that even now that they are angels, they still keep this thing of free will. Aval Shiare Malochim and Bilti Bechira. But the rest of the angels have no free will, but Akegar Zemei Alachot Zebai, and they're just like axes in the woods of in the hands of the woodchopper. That's the parenthesis. Like, don't bring me midrashim that say that the angels got punished. These were special angels, different types of angels. Vezehu michamoicha bakelim Hashem. And this is what it means, going back to the first line of the discourse, this is what it means, who is like you powerful between the powers, powerfuls and so on, God. Shegam be'eilim meroima, even in the powerful of the heavens, that would mean the angels, Ema Malachim, Sikhlim Nibdali, that the Rambam calls them, in separated intellects, like very holy and special things, whatever. Leis Barminach, even so, nobody's like you. Forget it. None of them are like you. Shebe'emes gam gufa malach hu mishnei yesedes esh veruach. Because the truth is that even the body of an angel is done, so to speak, created out of two fundaments, fire and air, whatever that means. Kama shekasov, like the Tehillim say, like the Psalm says. Oysi malach avruchois, meshar saf esh lo yeit. God makes his angels like ruach means like air or whatever, spirits, doesn't matter. Mesharsav of his servants, burning fire. Via ikar, the main thing is hu kium berkavas ayesoidois. The main thing is that God is the only one that actually keeps together these fundaments that actually create the bodies of angels. This comes from the words and the, so to speak, the air of the mouth of God, keeping these angels. So the main thing, again, even though the angels have their body and it's a special body, whatever you want to say about the angels, I don't really care, because they're kept by God. He's the only one that creates them and sustains them and so on. The Nimtza comes out, he lays bar minach chule, comes out clearly that there's nothing like God. Umimeilo, automatically, yepshal loimer inyan ashituf. You can't say this idea of partnership, that God has partners. Shehu leshatef shem shamayim medavar acher. This means to make a partnership between the name of God and something else. Like he has other powerful things. Forget it. It's impossible. Doesn't make any sense. Shebe'emes, kaddayekes, shapir. The truth is, this is in Aramaic, when you really analyze it, lo yeshu metzius klal chule, zulas is bara chule. There's no other existence at all, etc., except for him, etc. This is the end of the maimer. So, according to this discourse, we can understand a little bit better why it doesn't make any sense, shituf, this society that says that God has children or has a son or this or that, angels, forget it, doesn't make any sense at all. Nothing has the same sort, type of existence that God has.